us, oh blaze us, fire flame, freedom flame, blaze us, oh blaze us, blaze us. Early in the morning as I open my eyes, I'm so grateful for the sleep, I'm giving thanks to the divine. Everything's too crazy, gotta keep it off my mind while I'm looking for the good and all the peace that I can find. Have you heard about the violet flame? The flame of freedom, that's her name. Look around, you think it's time for change. Everybody ready, call and claim. Come on, blaze us, fire the flame, freedom flame, blaze us. Come on, blaze us.
Hi, you guys. This is Richard Sachs. I'm your host on Lost Arts Radio. Thanks for coming back. And all our guests are spectacular recently. This one is really one that I've hoped that would come on for us, that is a great writer about topics that are immediately relevant to humanity in general, but especially to the time that we're in right now, because as I've mentioned many times before, it's not just that things are chaotic right now, that as I've and others are seeing it, humanity is under the biggest coordinated assault in known world history worldwide, and it manifests in different ways in different countries, but it's extremely coordinated for reasons that we may talk about. And I think it's one of those times where often the time that we have, whatever it is, before things get potentially more difficult, is hard to value until it's gone, like many things. And so if we look back at it as this being the time that was easier, where we had a little bit of ability to talk about what was happening, we come back to this time from a hypothetical future and say, okay, now we realize it. Let's use it better and appreciate it. And so most of the shows we have now, I've turned down some really interesting guests who I really wanted to talk to and probably will at some point. But there's so much urgency to deal with what's really going on right now. I think the discussion needs to be used mostly for that. And there's plenty of different aspects to make that a wide variety of conversations all focused on the same issue, which is how do we avoid the completion of the negative agenda that's being imposed on people now, and not just stop it, but reverse it so that we get into a more positive future for humanity, which I'm sure is still possible. So that's why I wanted to invite Makia Freeman, who is the creator of the Freedom Articles and has been writing and published on many different formats. I've seen him on most recently on Lou Rockwell, which, you know, we have news articles posted every day at lostartsradio.com, and Makia's articles are included in that. So I wanted to get a chance to ask him some questions and get more deeply into some of the great topics that he writes about. And fortunately, he said he'd be willing to do that. And he's somebody that I think everybody should know about. So welcome, Makia, and thanks for giving us some time. I appreciate it very much.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Richard. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So just to introduce you to people that may not know you already, what background do you want to give about yourself to share with people so it makes it more, you know, in person, a live situation right now during our conversation?
Sure. So I've been studying who runs the world and how they do it and what the agenda is and what we can do to push back against it in all its different aspects for probably about 15 years now, full time. I started the Freedom Articles around 2012, so it's been going about 9 years. I'm just intensely interested in this topic, you know, like a lot of people now who are waking up to it. I feel a real sense of urgency to decode this agenda, to expose it, and to do what I can to help people wake up so we can, as you said, Richard, so eloquently, to stop this negative agenda, reverse it, and create a positive one. I really feel that the door's closing, that the plans of this new world order ruling class have accelerated, and mm-hmm. we have to wake up to it, because it's really becoming really blatant and in our face, even for people that in the past were apathetic or were sitting on the fence. Now it's been shoved in their face, literally in the form of masks, vaccines, and everything else. And it's something has to be done.
So you said you started the Freedom Articles 9 years ago. Does that correspond with when you started realizing the coordinated nature of what was going on?
I'd say it was a bit earlier than that. What really woke me up was reading some of David Icke's books, and that really blew me away. In fact, that was really a life-changing moment, because once I read one of his books, I realized there was no going back to the old worldview. There's just some things in life that you can't unlearn, you know. Once I saw what was really going on, and the extensive evidence he presented in those books, I knew that that's also what I wanted to do with my life, and so that helped me find my mission here. And that was where it began. But yes, I've probably been doing this about 15 years.
Okay, and then once you read some of David's books, you started running off on your own further research with that as the
pilot. Exactly. So I started, looking into other great researchers. And at the time, I mean, Google Video was still a thing. And this was way back in the days when YouTube wasn't censored. And there was just all sorts of stuff there. And you could actually use the algorithm to find interesting stuff rather than just the stuff that they want you to see. Yeah. I got into Bill Cooper and Bill Schneider talking about deep underground military bases. And back then, Project Camelot with Bill Ryan and Kerry Cassidy were doing it together at that stage. I mean, they had incredible interviews in the early days when they were doing it, and all sorts of stuff. So there was and still is so much great information. And with regard to David Icke, I mean, I went and read his books, and then I went and checked out all his sources, and I felt like, what he's saying really stacked up. I mean, he'd done the research, and his sources were also really credible. And it just led from one thing to another. I've always been very curious. I just couldn't stop reading and researching and finding out what was really going on.
One of the things I like to do in these brief discussions that we have here, which are potentially really valuable and what needs to happen in the world, is gear them not mostly for people that know what you know, but I want to try to bring in people who have no idea what you're talking about. Because the other people will have patience with that, realizing how important it is that we reach the people that are maybe just stumbling in and listening in by so-called accident, although I don't believe there's any such thing. Right. And if you had to start from the beginning and make what you've learned in 15 years consolidated down to an hour, starting with, everything's that we know what's happening because the television tells us every day. I mean, that's why they have all the conventional TV stations, is so that we're fully informed. And people that are totally satisfied with that probably won't be motivated to listen too much yet. But there are people on the edge who are starting to feel like, wait a minute, there's something going on in the world situation that doesn't exactly fit with what I'm reading in the New York Times every day. And if you had to go back and try to pick up those people from the beginning and kind of lead them through the succession of stages of understanding, how would you do that if you had the opportunity to talk to them?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would start by appealing to people's kind of gut intuition, because, even if you don't know that much about how the world really operates, you may have noticed that there are things that just don't seem to make sense or don't add up. For example, about world events, let's take a look at 9/11. Well, even if you believe the official story, the fact is there were three buildings that fell down in New York that day, and there were two planes. So how did an entire building, Building 7, just collapse, in a free fall speed in whatever it is, 7 seconds or so, without being hit by a plane all of a sudden?
Don't want you to lose your train of thought, but I just want to interject at certain points. A lot of people that I've talked to who are just barely aware of anything happening are saying, wait a minute, there were two buildings. What are you talking about? Can they go back now to still available video archives and see that there were three buildings. What's a good source?
Yes. So luckily there is still footage up and it hasn't all been completely censored. So I would say to people that are just waking up to all this, don't use Google as your main search engine. Don't use YouTube, which is owned by Google. Right. There are many great alternatives, alternative search engines, but also alternative video platforms. You can use BitChute. That's BitChute, BitChute.com, Rumble.com. There's a new site called Odyssey. It's spelled O-D-Y-S-E-E. It's formerly Library, L-B-R-Y.com. Now, they've got it set up so that it's completely decentralized. I think they use blockchain technology so that censorship is literally impossible with the way that it's technologically created. So start with those sites and you'll find great content. You'll definitely find content about Building 7 on 9/11. But yeah, all of these events, we're told by the mainstream media and the official version of reality that they happened a certain way, but there's always unanswered questions and things that can't be explained. And these are the way to kind of wake up and get into it, because there's just all these holes in the official story. And you can use that as a way to question things and to come to a deeper understanding. And I mean, the amount of holes with the official story when it comes to the COVID scamdemic is just unbelievable. I mean, there's just no science or logic to any of it. None of it makes sense when it's put under scrutiny, under close scrutiny.
Okay, well, you know, we know somebody ate a bat in the wet market in Wuhan, and then 200 million Americans died because Joe Biden said that on video. And the rest is details, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's... Yeah, I mean, the whole COVID thing has been very interesting because the ruling class are desperately trying to push this agenda of getting people in fear and getting them to obey all these ridiculous rules and then getting them to be vaccinated. But yet, when you ask simple questions such as can any government produce an actual specimen of the isolated virus? Well, no, they can't. And there's been people around the world who've asked their governments through Freedom of Information requests in Canada, in England, in Australia, US, all sorts of countries. Can you just show the documentation for an actual specimen? No, they don't have it. It's never been isolated.
Yeah.
And another aspect of the COVID agenda is the masks. Now, are there any studies that show that these masks can actually prevent the transmission of viruses, which viruses are measured in nanometers? They're absolutely tiny. Mm-hmm. They can easily fit through holes in cloth or masks. Are there any studies showing this? Well, no, there's not really. And so when you really ask some important questions, the whole story collapses, whether it's 9/11 or COVID or a lot of these other things. So if you're just new to all this, I would just encourage you to really, you know, ask all the questions you can think of. No question is too stupid. This is how we learn. We learn by being curious and asking questions. And if you're not satisfied with an answer, ask more questions to try to get to the bottom of it. Don't just stop because some suit and tie gives you some flat answer, or because some so-called authority says it. There's lots of deception where people in white coats or black robes are saying things and people are blindly accepting authority without questioning.
I think part of that goes back to the nature of science, and that what we're told these days is a lot, well, science is repeating what the government agency says is true. And that's science. Anything else is conspiracy theory. And in reality, both science and spiritual quest and anything that wants to get to the truth of something is based on the idea that you question everything. It's never settled. And there's no ego involved. So you're not there to defend what you currently believe. You're there to find out, am I right or not? Let's actually see. Because if you're not, and you find out something is more true, that's good. It's not something to fight about, right?
So absolutely,
apply it to this whole thing and the government or anybody else, some medical industry or somebody tells you this is true and you're not sure why that would be true, the attitude would be question it, find out, and don't believe that just because you're a regular old person that you can't find out whatever you want on your own.
Exactly. Yeah, I would really encourage people that we live in an amazing age in a lot of ways. And one of the ways is that we have the internet. And even though, yeah, it is trying to be controlled and censored, it's an information superhighway. You can go there and you can learn anything you want. And there's so much information at your fingertips. And yeah, it is really important to realize that a lot of these so-called authorities have been trained and indoctrinated in their own way. So if we're talking about scientists or doctors, they've, you know, say with doctors, they've gone to school and they've studied at university for 6 years on a really rigid particular curriculum about medicine, and that's produced a certain outcome, and it's produced them, you know, doctors that can be very knowledgeable in certain areas of medicine. And Western medicine has its strengths, but then sometimes just really grossly ignorant of natural health and nutrition and herbal cures and all sorts of other things, because they just simply don't study that. And they're actually actively taught to dismiss things like homeopathy or natural cures as quackery. And so you get this really, really kind of imbalanced authority figure that thinks they know everything about health or medicine, and they're ignorant of this massive part of what health really is. And it's the same for other authority figures too. And so it is really important not to blindly obey these authority figures, and do your own research and ask your own questions.
Yeah. And some of the people who are just going along with this are the people who are actively censoring everybody. And it's like they think as long as they're well paid and they're supported by the industry and everything, that they have no responsibility. But I don't know what angle you have on this particular issue, but if people realize that everybody's responsible for everything that they do and say and think, and, you know, they have to really put their attention on it and try to tell the truth, then the whole situation would change just from that point of view, right?
Yeah, yeah. There is a... You know, what we see in the world on the outside is a reflection of what's going in. And so individually and collectively, there is a lot of people that are in fear. They're not taking responsibility. They're not stepping into their power. And so that invites on the outside things like tyrants and dictatorial systems of control, because there's like a power vacuum. So the things on the outside step in to take that power. So, yeah, it does come back to that.
That includes doctors, right, who don't look up what they're injecting into people and just memorize things in medical school that they think they learned, but they actually just memorized. And they're believing the drug reps and people like that. Remember, there was this guy in Greece a while back called Hippocrates. And originally he was considered to be the father of medicine. And he said a bunch of really logical, common sense thing, like, you know, don't hurt. If you're a healer of some kind, like a doctor, it would really be good for you to not hurt anybody. Do no harm.
Right.
And that used to be an oath that the doctors took, and it's been kind of phased out in most cases. And so doctors are just accepting the idea, most of them, that toxic chemicals, if they're branded as medicine, then people should swallow them. And it's definitely going to be good for their health. And they're not really open to questioning whether that whole idea is valid or not. It's like common sense is gone.
Yeah, there is a lot of common sense that's gone. And then there's the abdication of responsibility. So here in the US, we have the situation with the NCVIA, the act that was passed in 1986. And that was done basically to give big pharma companies the legal liability immunity. So basically, you know, they can produce whatever vaccines they want, and there's no legal repercussion for them if they end up killing or injuring people. And so then basically they kind of pass that along to doctors. Like, doctors can now prescribe them without really any fear of any legal repercussion. And so it's, so it's happening at different levels of it. It's happening at the level of a doctor in the clinic speaking to the patient, at the level of Congress making the laws, at the level of the multinational corporations. And so we've had a whole system where there's no accountability, and it allows these horrific products called vaccines to be made and produced. And now they're trying to force them on people in the next phase of this agenda.
Yeah, I agree. And this lack of common sense and kind of a circular thinking and not realizing that you're just going along with memorized programs applies to presidents too. I met Ronald Reagan in the 80s when he was governor. And in 86, when that act was passed by Congress, the drug representatives who give lots of presents to Congress, of course, it's only for their campaigns, right? Not for them. Their free dinners and vacations and things like that are so that they can run a better campaign. But they went to Congress and said, you know, we're getting sued by everybody because, you know, it's not our fault. Our products are just maiming and killing people. It's just normal. And if we, you know, keep getting sued and having to pay out all these millions of dollars for people that we're killing and disabling, we're not going to be able to produce these wonderful life-saving products for humanity. And Congress and Reagan said, you know, that makes perfect sense. We need total liability so that when you maim or kill somebody's family, it's not your fault and you don't have to do anything about it. And they all passed it. And that I don't think, you know, people who realize that Reagan signed that sometimes think, well, then Reagan's an evil person. And I think there's a deeper thing happening that people, including a lot of smart and well-motivated people, don't even realize they're acting under hypnosis, basically.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that really is interesting that you met him, but it gets into a bigger area of mind control. And you can look at mind control right. as a general thing of people just being brainwashed by the constant propaganda they're being hit with. Or you can look at it as a general thing of people getting in hypnotic states when they watch TV and just kind of getting right. brainwashed like that. But then there's also specific programs that were run by the CIA and probably still are being run, but we know mm-hmm. about declassified ones like MKUltra, where they were actively experimenting on people, torturing them, introducing drugs into the system, all sorts of stuff to see what they could do, to see if they right. could produce things like sex slaves and mind-controlled assassins. So,
yeah,
it goes very deep.
Yeah, and the psychology is one part of it, but they found that frequency is a big help too. And by World War II, they had perfected frequency weapons to the point where they could make a single individual become an assassin or a killer or commit suicide or think that he was telling the truth when he was lying or whatever they needed. Now, we've had whistleblowers. Brian, I don't remember his last name. He worked for what was euphemistically termed a security company.
Yeah, Brian Cofron.
Yeah, exactly. And he explained that now the advances mean that the same frequency weapons that were used in World War II on one person can be used on millions at once.
Yeah, he's an important whistleblower. I've done articles on him. He's got some incredible information. It's really scary if you consider the state of technology that they yeah. have and how they're using it, what it can be used for. It's gotten very sophisticated, very advanced, and yes, they can target entire areas of cities, control people's moods without anyone even having an inkling of an idea of what's happening.
I think that's a partial explanation, at least it could be, of what happened in the cities in America last summer, because a lot of the people who were really enthusiastically beating people up and shooting people and burning down buildings and destroying black-owned businesses for Black Lives Matter and stuff like that, they didn't see anything wrong with it. And a lot of them, when reporters tried to talk to them, they couldn't explain why they were doing all this violence. They just knew that they needed to do it and it was really important. And they would just attack the reporter instead of having to think about it. It really looked to me like they were demonstrating that mind control in action from what we could tell.
Yeah, I think that's a very good theory. There's probably all sorts of technology that's been used against us without our knowledge, because what is in the public arena is decades and way, way behind what is really the state-of-the-art technology kept in the military industrial intelligence complex.
Right. I think David and others have talked about that being 50 to 100 years, which is easy to believe to me.
Yeah. Yeah. So we really have no idea what they're capable of. But if you look at what they're already trying to do in the public arena with Obama's brain project and 5G coming out across the world now, and it just, even what we know about, it's quite scary. So it just means that what's really possible is just so far out there. So we really have to be on guard against this. But I think, you know, an empowering way to look at it is that it's not like every person is helpless in the face of this. There is, the more that we also do our own inner spiritual work and try to integrate the parts of ourselves, the shadow parts, the disowned and unloved parts, like if we do all of that work, I think it really helps us step into our power and resist these kind of outer attacks, whether they're frequency based or other technologies. I firmly believe that they're not two separate areas of like our own inner spiritual psychological work and an evil ruling class that's using evil technology. I think it's one whole thing, and a lot of humanity has forgotten that we have the power and we have the numbers and we can put forward the positive agenda if we step into our power.
Yeah, I totally agree. And you know, David talks a lot about a physical solution being mass non-compliance. And right. I think that's true. It's just that it doesn't happen without a change internally in consciousness.
Right. Yeah, it has to be based in consciousness, because if the consciousness doesn't change, then we'll just end up reproducing the same result. And that's what you see in history, where you have revolutions and a new person comes to power and they become just like the old person.
And maybe worse than the last one sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's no real change without a change in consciousness.
Did you see the first Star Wars movie?
Yes.
Remember when the Emperor was trying to get Luke to kill his father because his father was so bad?
Right.
And to magnify hatred inside himself, with the idea, of course, that Luke would become his father's replacement, even worse than he was.
Yes, good point.
And there's so much symbolism in some of those movies. And Luke said, no, I'm not going to do it. And as a result, everything turned around and became better than they had in mind.
Right.
You know, yep. So the question of how the internal state of people can actually physically manifest in change in the outside world is a really important question. A lot of people who criticize that approach say that, well, you're just sitting around and making yourself feel good so you don't have to really worry about what's going on, while the bad guys just are fully active and they kill everybody. But there's actually more to it than that. And I think that in order to understand that, you've got to grasp the idea that humans are not physical bodies, that there's something really powerful and not subject to the limitations of the physical level that is wearing that costume. And if it becomes self-aware, then whatever its normal abilities were come back. And we, for the most part, have no idea what those even are.
Absolutely. I think there's so much that we're capable of that we haven't even begun to unravel or touch as humans. But yes, you're completely right. It does spring from an understanding that we're not just physical material beings. We're energy, and we're souls or spirits. And the things that happen in the material realm first happen on a deeper energetic unseen realm, and it filters down to the material level, which is why, you know, there's a lot of people that develop physical conditions or illnesses or sickness in their body, and there's a huge mental emotional connection. So they may have had repressed emotions, and then suddenly, you know, they get cancer, or they have anger issues, so their liver they have inflammation of the liver or whatever. I mean, there's so many connections with that. So it is realizing that on a deeper level, and then it doesn't become a question of just sitting around and doing nothing. It doesn't have to be an either or. You can be working on really developing your own awareness and consciousness and being aware of what you're thinking and feeling and your where your energy is at, and then that can flow out to enlightened action, and that's going to take that will take different forms depending on people's talents and interests. You know, some people are great at public speaking. They can go out and lead demonstrations nonviolently. Mm-hmm. Other people are great at starting movements. Other people are great at communicating. Other people are great at different things. But we all have a part to play. But yeah, it's definitely about looking within and doing that part of it. And then when you're in touch with that, your actions will flow from that place. You will know what you need to do that's going to help reverse this agenda and set up the positive one. And you know, in my case, I love researching and writing, and so that's my outlet. But other people have other gifts, and they'll use those. And together, when enough people stand up and do this, that's how we'll reverse it. And you know, I'm really encouraged seeing so many people now waking up to what a scam this whole COVID pandemic is. And there are just continued protests all around the world, non-violent. That's the key thing. People are just getting out there. They're mm-hmm. taking off their masks. They're standing in solidarity. They're making connections with each other, and they're realizing, oh, well, there's actually a lot of people who've also seen through this whole thing. And that's happening just all around the world. And then there's, in some countries, there's even, you know, people that are, there's so many of them already that are awake to this, that they stage a huge protest, and the government has no choice but to back down, because it realizes that it can't force its agenda through. You know, there's just not going to be enough support for it.
It's not ready to bring in tanks and just start killing everybody. That really wouldn't look that good.
Yeah, so that's where it really shows that the humanity, that the awakened mass has the power. Because, you know, if a government can't force through its mandatory vaccination schemes, and if all it can resort to is bringing in tanks, well, then it's gonna play its hand so quickly that's gonna flip back on it. If it tries to get really violent and start jailing and killing people for protesting innocently, then all these other people that are on the fence that aren't really sure what's happening, well, when they see that, suddenly they're gonna be galvanized into action, and they're gonna say, okay, like now I'm choosing the side against the government, because I can clearly see it's in the wrong. So they can't they can't overplay their hand too much, or there's going to be backlash. But if they underplay it, then people are just not going to stand for it anymore. There's already been a lot of states in the US that have banned the idea of vaccine passports. People are burning their masks. So there's already a lot of pushback. I see a lot of positivity, even though there was a lot of compliance when this thing first rolled out.
So jumping back to the purely physical level for a minute, some of the people that are just new to this idea that there's some kind of a coordinated scam going on, they would say, well, these rulers, you know, looking at Congress, for example, are so disorganized, they can't even agree on what to do about anything. How could there be worldwide collusion between all these diverse countries perpetrating a unified scam globally? How could that happen? What would you say to those?
Yeah, that's a good question. I really understand that viewpoint, because there is a lot of arguing and deal making and all of that that takes place in Congress and probably every government in the world. But you have to realize that the agenda to set up a new world order, or as they call it, or a one world government with a one world bank, one world army, one world currency, and a microchip population, this is a really long standing agenda. Maybe it shouldn't even be called the New World Order. It's like an old world order. It's been around a long time.
Right.
And it's way beyond the levels of Congress, of Parliament, of Prime Ministers and Presidents. This is an agenda that gets pushed forward regardless of which political party is in power, regardless of which president sits upon the throne. It advances all the time because it's been run by basically secret societies and bloodline families. And for them to be in positions of government, it's kind of like a demotion. It's a stepping down because they already have massive power. They have massive wealth and networks, and they don't need to be in the public spotlight to be pushing this forward. They just control the politicians through various means. Some of it's bribery, some of it's blackmail. An interesting window into the whole blackmail thing was the whole Jeffrey Epstein saga, and just looking at the you know, I'd heard about his name earlier on, of course, and I thought the case was cold. So I was actually quite surprised when it came back into the media spotlight. And then, you know, he ended up getting arrested and then there's alleged suicide in jail and all of that. But I'm glad that did come back into the public eye, because then suddenly now there was more interest, even mainstream media interest in the story. And a lot of people in the alternative media dug into it too. And then we began to find out, okay, this guy was actually a Mossad agent. You know, he basically was running this whole pedophile prostitution ring for the Israeli spy agency, the Mossad. And he was taping people, high up people, Bill Clinton, probably Bill Gates. That's still been looked into right now, exactly how much Bill Gates was involved. But we have a list of all the people that flew on his plane, Kevin Spacey, all these other politicians and celebrities, mm-hmm. all got probably taped and having sex with underage girls or whatever they were doing. And then they're just blackmailed for life then. And that was part of it. There's a lot more to it than that. I believe there's also a lot of, you know, satanic ritual and stuff like that going on. But that's just one kind of window, if you like, into the whole way that blackmail works. So politicians are easily controlled with bribery and blackmail. They don't get to the top positions without being compromised in some way. I mean, very, very few of them. Maybe there's a couple of really good ones that do, but in general, they don't get that far unless they're really controlled and they're easy to be manipulated. And they basically are just figureheads that push this agenda into place. And so it doesn't have any real relevance about whether, you know, Congress is arguing over this or that law. There's a key agenda and it gets pushed out through governments, but also through the media, through education, through a lot of other avenues. And that's how the world is really run.
Yeah, it's not from the visible so-called leaders, right, that are doing everything. Otherwise, if it were, the people who wonder about that would be right. The governments would never coordinate with everything. They've all got their own ideas. But if they're all controlled by a single source, then that makes it all possible.
Yeah, and another clue to realize this is sometimes you see world leaders giving exactly the same speech, and they have their own accents, but they're reading it word for word. And these are supposedly independent sovereign nations. And I remember someone did a great video compilation right when the U.S. said it was going to be invading Iraq in 2003, and the supposed justification for that was 9/11. Yeah. And we had... I believe it was Stephen Harper, but I might be wrong about who it was, but it was the Canadian Prime Minister was reading something. And then at the time in Australia, John Howard was the Prime Minister. And then there was someone else and they were reading the exact same speech.
Wow.
But pushing their parliaments to vote for war. So how is it that if there's no like global agenda, that all these world leaders are parroting word for word the same thing? So it's obvious now to me that there's some higher force that is telling these people what to do, and they better toe the line, because if they don't, they know their career is ruined, or, you know, if they really don't toe the line, well, you know, their family is threatened, or they're threatened, or they die in a suspicious accident or whatever. So there's lots of ways to control these people.
So one of the ways that all these people, not only politicians, but media people and entertainers and all these different people that are looked up to are controlled is because they don't have a job unless they are willing to say whatever they're told to say. And, you know, the compilation that you're referring to in government leaders, even more has been done with the media anchor people and the commentators and everybody, the basically actors that are hired to read off a teleprompter what people think is news with a certain facial expression and tone of voice and all that. And as long as they do that, they get a comfortable lifestyle and luxury. If the ones that do it really well and are very convincing, they're extremely well paid. And if they stop, they don't have any income. So it comes down to the question for a lot of them. Well, and that's the ones that aren't blackmailed. I mean, some of the ones that are blackmailed, if they decide to disobey, they disappear. But even the run-of-the-mill news anchor and things like that, they would at least get fired if they didn't obey. So it's, and the same with a lot of the police. Australia and Canada are really giving a good example of this right now, that the police, regardless of what they personally believe, are willing to club old people and women and kids who don't have a mask on. And then they get perks and they get their job and they get supported and they, you know, can do a lot of things that they want to do. What's missing is this ethical sense that whatever we do, we're responsible for it. If we make a mistake, we have to make up for it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That is missing. And I know what you're talking about when you're talking about the other compilations. There was one that was doing the rounds a year or two ago when all these apparently unconnected local television stations were talking point for point about this is dangerous to our democracy and blah, blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
Exactly.
And someone had compiled, you know, 40, 50, 60, 100 different news anchors, men, women, young, old, didn't matter. They were all saying
at the
exactly
end,
the
they
same
were
thing.
All talking together too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's incredible. And then this has just been, you know, there's like an open pipeline straight into people's minds. And so you think about maybe a couple of people at the very top came up with this whole script and they fed it out to these hundreds of news stations and that went into millions of people's minds. And all these people probably thinking, oh, I'm just turning on my local news and I'm just, you know, seeing what's happening and they're getting the same message. And the programming.
Listen to the anchor I trust.
Yes. Yeah. So the programming's really, really strong here. One of my, a writer I really like called Caitlin Johnston's, she's Australian too, and she actually has written that she thinks Americans are the most propagandized people in the world. And I can kind of understand why she says that because, you know, the US is just, you know, being a first world country and the home of Silicon Valley and big tech and all this, there's just so much information and propaganda that's pointing at you all the time living in this country. And it's,
right.
it can be challenging in some ways when you're inundated with so many years of that to wake up. It does take a certain kind of curiosity and a tenacity and a real willingness to look at things and not just to kind of go into comfort mode and never question anything and believe everything you were taught in your childhood.
There's a lot of peer pressure, you know, of people thinking
right.
that you have to think like they do or they're going to be uncomfortable and that's not acceptable.
Right.
And there's this analogy that's often given of fishermen off piers at the beach are fishing for crabs and they have these traps, you know, they put some cut up meat or whatever bait they want to put in there. Crabs like rotten meat a lot. And then the crabs go in there and they pull up on the rope and the sides of the trap come together like a pyramid closing. And they pull it up and they throw the crabs in a bucket, which is a really bad omen for the crabs that they're about to get boiled. But when they're in the bucket, a whole bunch of them crawling around in there, if one starts climbing out of the bucket, the other ones grab him and pull him back in.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a lot like humans.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't want to insult crabs, but they do have some, you know, semi-human qualities like that.
Yeah, yeah. It's a sad tendency that humans have to do that to one another.
So there's an antidote for that, though, right? Because what you were talking about with consciousness is that ultimately it's not about, you know, just memorizing really hard a new belief or something. There's something real in the internal space of every human. And it's really powerful. It's just not contacted all at once instantly. Usually it takes some time and work, but it has the potential to get strong enough so it's stronger than peer pressure.
Absolutely, it does. Right. And I think that's part of the maturing process we all go through. You know, at the beginning when we're kids, it's really important to belong and to be a part of a group, and we don't want to be ostracized.
No.
We don't want to, even with our parents, we don't want to displease them because they're literally giving us everything we have. And so it kind of starts off like that. But even as a teenager, you know, we want to be accepted. And there's so much shame and loneliness and whatever that comes with not being part of a group or having friends or whatever, but you know, hopefully in the maturation process of a human, we kind of grow out to that and we start to realize that we don't need external validation, that we can validate ourselves and be okay and find the self-love and self-acceptance to have our own opinions, have our own thoughts and still be okay and not need that. And if there are people in our lives who really just can't be okay with that, well, then we try to find people that we can be okay, you know, can be ourselves around. And But taking the point even further, I think what I'd really like people to focus on when they, you know, when you start researching this kind of information and you see it on a daily basis, it can be very overwhelming. It can be very scary when you see the sheer amount of evil that's going on and how coordinated and calculated it is and how cunning it is. I mean, I've definitely had a lot of moments myself of passing through the fear, the anger, and the overwhelm dealing with all this. But on the other side of that, I always believe that it's better to know than to be in ignorance. And even if the truth is ugly and hard, it's still better to actually know what we're facing so we can do something about it than sticking our head in the sand and pretending that if we don't know it, suddenly it's not there, or it's not going to affect us.
Yeah, well, in a way, what you're talking about is drug addiction. Because, and I'm not talking about just chemical drugs, anything that makes you not have to be aware of what's bothering you is a source of potential addiction, and people run to that so that they don't have to deal with the inner conflict. You know, I really don't feel good about things, and do I want to go through that and find out what's at the base of it, or do I just want to feel better right away? And almost everybody initially chooses feel better right away, because there's nothing wrong with that. It's that's a normal desire to get back to our, you know, baseline state that I think we were once in. It's just that how you get there, if you do it by the usual addictive channels, there's a really unpleasant price to pay. Whereas if you do it, you know, in the internal sense with what you have inside you, not only is there not a negative price to pay, but you get an incredible self-generated reward, and it'd be good to spread that awareness somehow so that people have a reason to choose the less convenient way.
Yeah. Yeah. And what you're saying really reminds me and brings up for me the story of the central theme of Brave New World by Huxley. You know, people often talk about George Orwell's 1984 and Huxley's Brave New World as the two kind of key novels of the 20th century that,
right,
kind of predicted dystopia. And they were very different because Orwell's model was based on mind control and force and constant surveillance and all of this, whereas Huxley's was more based on drugging people out. You know, in his book, the drug was Soma, and basically getting people so addicted to pleasure and superficialities and getting them to avoid pain at all costs by taking chemical drugs that they would never really face their fears, face their shadow side, face their uncomfortabilities, and so they would be trapped in this infantile state, you know, their whole life. You're completely right. There's no way that you can really become aware and do the maturing that needs to be done without being uncomfortable, without, you know, feeling the pain of whatever it is, that the pain of people around you, your own pain, the state of the world, you have to integrate that to become aware. There's no way around it. And there's so many distractions these days, isn't there? I mean, we have like Netflix, and we have all sorts of chemical drugs, legal and illegal. We have 1,000 different, you know, like 100,000 different channels of stuff on television or the internet or whatever. So there's no end of the distractions. But we, I think, at a certain point, have to shut those out and go within to really grow and to really evolve.
Well, so everybody's really after pleasure and happiness and feeling good. I think that's pretty universal. I think. Yeah. Even the really bad top level perpetrators, completely satanic, who, you know, are running the extermination program, that's what they think makes them feel good, because they feel really powerful. And if you can kill everybody, it means you're the best.
Right.
But, you know, there's drawbacks to following that, things like karma and, you know, things that you're building for yourself in your own future, which are not that desirable. And I don't think they understand that. And it's like, even everybody's after the same goal, but how you get there is really an important detail. There's going to be discomfort that you have to deal with either way. It's like you take the drug and you get some pleasure right away, but when it wears off, you know, you don't feel so good. And there's a side effect that eventually you don't have a mind anymore, or you've got a mind that's enslaving you and things like that. The other way is like going to the gym to get in better shape physically. It doesn't feel good to lift the weights initially or to try to walk and run and things like that. But if you keep doing it and understand why, you end up feeling exhilarated with no bad effect at all.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. Yeah.
So the people that, you know, one thing I notice a lot is that Alex Jones, people like that, who I think is doing fantastically valuable work, are still caught up in the idea of destroying the bad guys. And I'm saying that gets back to the analogy in Star Wars again. You know, kill Darth Vader, feel the hate, get rid of him and save the world, you know, by being the new king of hate yourself. And sometimes people don't realize that if you win from that emotional base, like you were saying, you're creating a continuation of the same problem. And in reality, those people that are, whether they're in physical form or not, that are enslaving and planning to exterminate life, they're prisoners of programming that's even worse than ours. And yes. They could still decide to change. And I think one of the measures of whether we get to a point where we're really demonstrating that the internal work does something on the outside and it's not just another belief system is when we get coherent and focused and deep enough in ourselves where we can start projecting the incentive to them to reconsider what they're doing to start defecting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to think back to how it is that I came to this worldview. And I know that I watched different documentaries and read different books along the way that helped me to kind of realize, you know, this world is much more mysterious and magical than what we believe, and that our thought really can affect reality, and that really the world is set up as kind of like something that's always going to be reflecting back to us what we're thinking and feeling, or what our deepest fears or deepest beliefs are. And so,
yeah,
you know, when people come into your life and they're super angry, you know, that's a reflection of your own hidden anger. There are anger issues that you that's haven't right. resolved. Because
Like attracts like.
There's some kind of magnetism that goes on that we're all magnetic beings. We're all electromagnetic beings. And so we right. attract situations and people into our lives as a clue that we need to do something on the inner state to,
yeah.
you know, there's something to resolve. So I it's hard for me to just, if your listeners are new to all this, for me to prove this, but I just invite people to try it out. Try saying to yourself when you wake up each morning a certain affirmation or a decision for 30 days straight, and see how that affects your life. See how people or situations respond differently.
Yeah.
When you make the decision to focus on something, or when you clear up an old wound, you know, you might find different things in your life just suddenly change. So
what you're doing is you're starting to affect the mantras that you've been repeating without even noticing it all the time.
Right.
Replacing it with something else.
Right. And I know I've said it before in this conversation, but this really is the point of power. And it's definitely important to be aware of what's going on and to wake up to the false reality and realize how things are really operating. But it's also good not to get too caught in that and to become overwhelmed or start sinking in the swamp of it, because it's so evil and so dark and so twisted that you could research all you want every day and never know it all, and there'll still be more dirt that you'll be uncovering all the time. You can do that, but it's important to find the balance and bring it back to the place of power and go, okay, like I know that I am a powerful being. I'm going to do what I can to work on my own self, my own inner beliefs, clear up old wounds, so I can be projecting out something different into the world and creating something different, and that's going to affect everyone around me. And when enough people do that, then we start to create what you were saying at the start of this whole conversation. We start to create a more positive reality because we've more consciously taken back our power of manifesting reality, our power of projection, and we're using it more consciously to create what we want. Whereas right now, it's basically for most people, their ability to create with their thoughts and feelings and their imagination has just been hijacked because they've been propagandized and brainwashed, and they don't even know that they have this power to create, and they're just basically spitting out program beliefs, and their heads are filled with Hollywood movies and propaganda, and that's what they end up kind of thinking, you know, focusing on or thinking about or creating or speaking about. And it's like this incredible power of a human has been turned into this battery almost. It's just kind of spitting out these nightmarish visions of reality to serve whoever created it in the first place, which is, you know, when you trace the ownership back of Hollywood or the mainstream media or education, it comes back to these same kind of, I call them the New World Order bloodline families, and
yeah,
who sit atop the pyramid.
Yeah, I agree. And so they don't believe that they can create. And as a result, they're just creating 24 hours a day, but it's not what they would like to create. It's what they're used to thinking about. And,
yeah.
And what I've seen is that every thought, it might be subtle, but it's got an emotional counterpart. And that's where the power of creation gets into the thought. If you don't feel anything about something, I don't think there's much that it actually does.
Right, right. Yeah, the feeling helps make the thought a reality. It's kind of like the generating power. So you have
exactly.
a thought of something, you know, like I want to have peaceful relations with my friends and family. And if you just say that to yourself without any emotion, well, it doesn't really count for much. But yes, if you consciously focus on that and put a lot of power into that and you say that every morning to yourself, then if you keep at it, that will start to become a reality for you.
Right. I've heard people complain also that the reason that all this is nonsense is because imagination is just self-pacifying, you know, nonsense to avoid actually doing anything. And so what they're doing all day is creating, you know, they talk about, I wish I could manifest things the way I want. So they're manifesting all day through what they are imagining, not with just thoughts, but with the emotion of what would it feel like, usually in the form of, oh no, what if this happens? And this is what I'm really afraid of. I'm trying to act cheerful, but underneath the real feeling is I'm almost living in the thing that I'm dreading happening. And they're putting lots of power into it. It's not the awareness of it. It's that giving themselves to it and actually living in what they're apprehensive about. And they're doing all this massive manifesting work all the time and thinking that there's no such thing.
Yeah, well, that's interesting because like it or not, we're all creators. That's part of what we are as humans. We create. And,
right.
you know, we create first and foremost with our thoughts and feelings before it comes down to the material level of what we're doing with our hands or body or whatever. And, you know, people, it doesn't really work to say, well, I don't really believe in imagination. So I'm not, you know, I'm not going to create anything particularly. I'm not going to like do that. Well, you are, even without you realizing it or wanting to, that the fact that you're a human and you have certain thoughts in your head, probably a lot of them are not really yours because they've been put into you through, you know, brainwashing and media and education and all this. Unless you examine those and you consciously replace them with ones you want, then that's what's going to be running your life, whether you like it or not. And and then, you know, in my article recently, Decoding the Twisted New World Order Mindset, I touched on this. I finished with a quote by Carl Jung. But, you know, Carl Jung was an incredible psychologist. He really, really knew a lot about this. And he actually said another great quote. He said that until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you will call it fate. So, you know, a lot of people think, oh, I'm just going to let fate take me where it will. Well, a lot of that is actually your unconscious beliefs that have been imprinted and programmed into you that you're just letting run the show. And so it's really kind of an invitation of, okay, do you want that to be like that? Or do you want to live with more consciousness where you can choose what thoughts are running the things? And, you know, it's hard work because it's a lot easier to reprogram yourself when you're a kid and you're not set in your ways. But by the time you're an adult and you've had these neural pathways created where you've got these deep imprinted thoughts, then it can be take a lot of effort to reprogram them, but it is possible.
Yeah. You have to be motivated for sure.
Right.
Have you heard, you're in Hawaii now, right? How long have you been in that state?
Been about 14 years.
Okay, so you may have heard of something called Ho'oponopono.
Yes. Yes, I have. Well,
we've done some experimenting with that. I told you about the group that we have in addition, the private group called Planetary Healing Club. And one of the things that we've worked with is Ho'oponopono because it's one of the clues of what's possible. And most of these things, you know, they're what I put in that category is what was demonstrated by Dr. Hugh Len in Ho'oponopono, curing psychiatric patients without talking to them or seeing them. And the Japanese water experiment where the supposed inanimate object of a glass of water is focused on by a lab tech who's projecting feeling love, hate, or neutrality. And the structure of the water molecules completely changes based on the emotion being projected. And the other thing, you know, that quantum physics people talk about typically as an example is the random number generator that has a program putting out equal numbers of ones and zeros or even in odd numbers or something like that. And a person sits next to it projecting the feeling of it all coming out even numbers or the other way. And the computer changes to accommodate that. I mean, these are just clues, but they're enough of obvious clues so that they prove beyond really any reasonable doubt that we're affecting the physical so-called inanimate reality all the time. The impasse seems to be, okay, these really serious people who have focused on this and learned how to project a feeling in a certain way have done small-scale proofs that this works. The issue is, why has nobody scaled it up so far? And we know they haven't because of what's going on in the world. But I think theoretically any of us could, and we could support each other in that project.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really, really important work to do. And I think it doesn't matter who you are, what age or culture or race or anything that you are, this is all the work that we all have to do as humans. And, you know, I've heard also a lot of people that have been studying this kind of conspiracy research for a while talk about how the New World Order is really composed of people that are black magicians. They're really basically using this kind of magic, it's magic of creation and manifestation, but they're using it in negative ways to control and to harm and hurt.
Right.
But they're doing it by capturing people's imaginations and using them as batteries by programming them and getting people to go along with whatever agenda they're planned. And so, you know, the antidote to the black magic is the white magic, is that we also use this creative potential that we can't help but use. I mean, every day when we wake up, we feel and we think. It's happening all the time. So let's use it for good. Let's harness the power of our feelings and thoughts and actually put them to creating what we want. And at the end of the day, we way outnumber the black magicians or the New World Order agents or whatever you want to call them. Right. There's way less of them. And, you know, there was a Dutch banker whistleblower called Ronald, I think his name was Roland Bernard.
Yes.
So he talked about how there were 8,500, he felt, at the very top, kind of the top ruling class. And I've heard other people, you know, put different numbers on it. But whatever the number is, it's a tiny amount of the 7 or 8 billion people that live on the planet. I mean, such a tiny number. So there's no way that such a few amount of people at the top can control 7 or 8 billion people unless the 7 or 8 billion people keep being numb and apathetic and allow themselves to be programmed and keep being obedient and compliant. As soon as like enough of those stop and wake up and go, hang on, wait a minute. I'm not supporting this agenda in any way, not with my body, not with my thoughts, not with my emotions, not with my attitude. I'm going to withdraw my support from it. Even just doing that alone will be enough to disrupt this agenda.
Yeah. Well, they know that at the top, and that's why You know, they've really made sure to give us a top-notch school system, and the same with media, because those things are constant suggestion. You're powerless. You can't do anything. You have to think like everybody else. Obedience is the key to success. And all these things, like in that old movie, They Live, you know, where they have, where you put on the sunglasses and you can see the billboard says obey, consume, do the same thing everybody else does. I think that's the function of educational system and the media and entertainment too.
And yeah, so, that is a very, very powerful film. I'm still stunned at how incredibly accurate that film is. When I go back and look on it, it's really a brilliant film.
So no wonder people get attacked when they're marked as somebody who can see, right?
Right.
Watch out,
right.
We got one that can see. Yeah, so yeah. In wrapping it up, I mean, there's different levels of people who are being subjugated. Well, there's two things I really wanted to tell you just really, really quick in response to what you said. One is that it's not, fortunately for us, only numbers. Because if the vast majority of the 8 billion people in the world remain hypnotized to some degree, and a smaller number, you know, like the tiny minority that started the freedom revolution in the U.S. when it became a country, but even much smaller than that, but focused, there's one of the many laws of nature that has been forgotten by most people is that when you carry malice for anybody, for life, for people, for humanity, you know, and the people in control are just full of malice and fear, it restricts you to a relatively low level of power. And the only way that they can keep looking intimidating and scary, as you said, is if we stayed like completely unconscious zombies. If we start to wake up, if we're willing to let go of malice for anybody, you know, including desire to destroy and torture and kill the bad guys and all that. If we can get free of that and realize what we're working for is not, you know, bloodshed for the sake of righteousness, it's unlimited love, which is a lot more powerful, then they don't have a chance. And if even a small number of people are coordinated in that spirit, not using like what we would call the lighter side of magic on their own from an ego point, but letting spirit, which is in charge of everything, flow through us without any blockage, then it's unlimited and it doesn't depend on our little bit of ego-based personal strength. And we have that. And so these different levels of people that are caught in this whole paradigm of what's happening in the world right now as they try to destroy it, at the bottom level are mostly the people that are unconscious that, you know, like in They Live, they're the ones that walk around and don't see anything unusual. But above that, there's all these levels of servants of the negative agenda. Most of them from the bottom to the middle somewhere don't really realize what they're doing. And a lot of the mid-level ones that people would think are really high up are thinking that they're going to be the elite remnant that'll be left to enjoy the world when, you know, all the rest of us are out of the way. At the top level, they know that nobody's intended to be left. This is a suicide mission, and all their servants are expendable. They just don't mention that because it would be really bad for morale. But each one of those levels is caught in their own mind control type situation. And fortunately, you can talk to them subliminally and you don't have to get an audience where it wouldn't be a good idea with some of these guys anyway. But if you, this big level where the police are beating people up for not having a mask on completely, or the health people are shutting down everybody's way of making a living and they're memorizing total nonsense about everybody being in danger of dying any minute from a non-existent pandemic and things like that. If you could, you know, there's so many of these leaders in the freedom movement that just want to kill all the bad guys. What would you tell the bad guys if you were allowed to talk to them and they had to listen for a minute?
I would tell them that we've seen right through their facade. And to me, all these bad guys are just like the wizard behind the curtain and the Wizard of Oz. Since today, we've been, you know, bringing up some great books and movies to illustrate what's going on here. We've talked about 1984 and Brave New World and They Live. And so Wizard of Oz, let's throw that in because to me, that is what it's really like. It's like some big scary thing, but hang on a minute. Let me just question this and look a little bit more closely at this and look at this under the microscope. Oh, wait a minute. The whole thing's a giant facade. It's like a scared and kind of control freak, power-hungry old man behind the curtain who's like pushing the levers.
He's turning those cranks really fast.
yeah.
That was high tech when that film was made.
Right. That's what it is. That's what it is. And so it's facing it head on and looking it in the eyes and not being afraid, standing your ground gathering support, doing it en masse with enough people. And then we'll just see through it and break through it.
Right. Yeah, the scariness is not, you know, sometimes language keeps us caught in misconceptions too. And when we say a thing or a person is scary, that's not really a valid phrase because one person can look at that individual and not be scared and the other one's terrified. So it's the same person. Are they scary or not scary? You know, it's not them, it's us.
Right.
And if we get to the point internally of getting rid of the source of fear inside of us, there aren't scary people anymore.
Right.
It's like they all got changed.
Yeah.
So any, you know, what final word can we say that indicates to people, you know, this is not a hopeless situation?
Well, I really don't think people need to accept any kind of inevitability. You know, since we're on the theme of movies and books, so we've got Star Trek and the Borg, and the Borg used to say resistance is futile. So
yeah,
I think the exact opposite is the truth. Resistance is not futile. And the only reason that the New World Order or whatever you want to call them putting out that message is because they're trying to weaken your resistance and they're trying to kind of win the fight before it's even started. And you know, this is an age old agenda, but that's what it is. It's an agenda. It's not an inevitability, and we can stop it. We can change the future. We can change what happens now if we wake up enough and stop complying with this thing. And, you know, I know that we have the numbers. And as you said, it's not even just about having the numbers. It's having the power and the strength and the consciousness. It's all of those things are on the side of the awakened masses. So, yeah. It's really about stepping into our power and doing whatever comes from that enlightened, awakened place. And that may well be being out on the streets, but it doesn't need to be violence. There doesn't need to be, you know, shootings or anything like that. It's enough that we gather together and we refuse to comply and we start ignoring their ridiculous rules and edicts and mandates. Because when enough of us do that, they're not enforceable anymore. It doesn't even need to get to violence. So
That's right. Yeah, I like that image. Okay, well, it's a good starting point. Maybe we can do some more episodes in the future if it comes up. I think that would be fun.
Sure. So,
hold on, I'm going to say goodbye in the break here. Okay, that was Makia Freeman. I was saying his name wrong. I was saying Makia. It's Makia. And he wanted to be on audio only for security reasons, and understandable, you know, that people that are saying things that are actually true as the world stands now are in more danger. So I'm happy to accommodate them if they want to be on just audio. But he does want everybody to know about his website, and his articles are really good. Everyone that I've read is excellent. So the main site is thefreedomarticles.com. thefreedomarticles.com, and there are links from that website if you scroll down to various places where his articles are posted. And he said there's an ebook on there about cancer, which sounds like it's really interesting, and to scroll down on the main site and you'll find it. So I appreciate his work very much. I think he's done a lot of inspiring stuff, and his motivation is obviously clear. to try to help humanity avoid the complete extermination agenda that's going on right now and reverse that in time for creating a much better future. So if as much as you can share Makia's work, I think that would be a nice thing to do. And I'm going to do the same myself. So that's about it. And what else? Remember, this is our Sunday show. We've got a Saturday live show called Lost Arts Radio Live. And that's about things relating to current events every week, 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern on Saturday. And half an hour after that show ends, we have our live meeting for Planetary Healing Club. And that's for people that want to take this farther and really work on transforming their own lives. It's based on the same principles that Makia was talking about, where working on yourself on deep enough levels is not just to make you feel better while everything else gets destroyed. It actually does have a strong impact on the outside physical, so-called real world, you know. But you can't fake it. You have to do a certain amount of work to actually get to that point. And we've all seen demonstrations that prove that this is true, this quantum physics idea of intention affecting reality or physical reality, but just on small scale stuff. And I don't know why. I think maybe you have to get to a more complete level of internal connection, not with your own ego self that can mess up things, as we've all proven in our own lives, but to spirit or God that can work through us if we get out of the way. And at that point, we could see some amazing things. That's what I'd call scaling it up. And all these principles that Makia is talking about are demonstrated as being real, but small scale demonstration is not really enough for what's needed right now. There's some pretty serious things happening in the world around us, and it's not a point where they can be all fixed by force or conventional methods. So I really recommend looking into what Makia is talking about, what we're doing in Planetary Healing Club, and you can access that at planetaryhealingclub.com. And you can also stay in touch with us. There's contact forms on lostartsradio.com and lostartsresearchinstitute.org, as well as donate buttons if you have resources and you want to help us stay on the air and get our projects funded. That's at lostartsradio.com and also the nonprofit site, lostartsresearchinstitute.org. Those donate buttons go to the nonprofit. And so does the SubscribeStar site, which is subscribestar.com/Lost Arts Radio. And that's a place to stay in touch, lostartsradio.com, in case we disappear from certain platforms and are showing up on other ones that are more free speech oriented, like Brighteon and BitChute and Ahava and different things like that. They're all linked at lostartsradio.com. So stay in touch. If you have show recommendations or questions about Planetary Healing Club, then feel free to send those in. We'll get to them as fast as we can. And main message, as always, is learn how to take care of yourself on a deeper level, because that increases your ability to help everybody else you're connected to, which is everybody else. And thanks for being here. I hope you have a great week, and we'll meet you here again next time, same place. Talk to you soon.
Introducing Lost Arts Radio on SubscribeStar.com. Just go to SubscribeStar.com/Lost Arts Radio to find our rewards program offering 10 different giving levels starting at just $5 a month. We offer incredible value for any rewards level, from extra monthly interview videos not available publicly to subscription-based Planetary Healing Club videos once, twice, or three times a month, to private counseling sessions with Lost Arts Radio host Richard Sachs, to tech help with me, Doug Diamond. We even have one option where you can be the star on Lost Arts Radio as our guest on a specially produced show just for you. We conduct an interview with you and broadcast it to our growing network and listenership. Our Subscribestar levels are one of a kind, and offer great rewards for any budget. Please help support Lost Arts Radio. We can't do it without you. With increasing censorship on many of our channels, we really need your support today to keep doing what we're doing. As Richard says, we're not even at survival level yet. Lost Arts Radio has 3 weekly shows. Lost Arts Radio Live each Saturday night at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, which is a live stream currently on multiple platforms in case we get banned from some of the larger ones. Right now, we're on Facebook Live, Twitch, and DLive. You can access these broadcasts by going to www.lostartsradio.com/live for all the links to those channels. The Planetary Healing Club meets right after Lost Arts Radio Live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Saturday nights. And our Sunday show with guests airs at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Sunday nights on our Blog Talk Radio channel, our YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and on Brighteon. Be sure to sign up for our free email list just in case we do get banned on big tech's platforms. It's just a matter of time, really. They don't like the stuff we talk about, and they do not want the truth out there. In fact, they have already attacked us numerous times. Join our free email list so we can let you know where we are and how to access our shows. The sign-up button is right on the top right on most pages of our website. The best starting point for all things Lost Arts Radio is our main site, lostartsradio.com, where you can find the hottest news selection videos that we curate just for you. Those are on the homepage and added to daily, as well as articles and breaking news about information you really need to know. Our show archives, the 10 most recent shows, are right on our homepage, as well as our Blog Talk Radio page at blogtalkradio.com/lostartsradio, or just click the All Things Radio Show tab right on our website. We're in the podcast directory on iTunes, and all of our shows except the banned ones are on our YouTube channel at Lost Arts Radio. Our Brighteon page is really taking off, and we often have editors' picks videos right on their homepage. Visit Brighteon.com/channel/Lost Arts Radio. On our site, you can also access our free listener forum as well as sign up for the Planetary Healing Club, which is just $25 a month, where you get private access to a one-on-one interaction with host Richard Sachs and myself and the other club members who participate live. More info can be found at PlanetaryHealingClub.com. We're providing solutions in there to make the world a better place. Come join us. Stay tuned, because up next, you'll get to hear a really great song by an independent artist that we're doing our best to support. Go to lostartsradio.com/music for the full list of all the great songs and bands that we spin on our audio-only podcast shows. If you're in a band and want to submit a song for consideration for airplay on Lost Arts Radio, visit my website at diamonddiscaudio.com for more information about the music placement, mastering, and mixing work that I do. Thanks again for listening to and supporting Lost Arts Radio. We love having you as part of our family to learn, experience, and grow with.
Fire flame, freedom flame, blaze us, oh blaze us. Fire flame, freedom flame, blaze us, oh blaze us, blaze us. As I open my eyes, I'm so grateful for the sleep. I'm giving thanks to the divine. Everything seems crazy, gotta keep it off my mind while I'm looking for the good and all the peace that I can find. Have you heard about the violet flame? The flame of freedom, that's her name. Look around, you think it's time for change. Everybody ready, call and claim. Come on, blazers, blazers, fire the flame, freedom flame, blazers. Come on, blazers, blazers. Well, last thing in the evening as I close my eyes, I'm calling for protection, keep me safe through the night. Seem like everything's a crazy, gotta keep it off my mind while I'm looking for the good and all the peace that I can find. Have you heard about the violet flame? The flame of freedom, that's her name. Well, look around, you think it's time for change.
Come on, blazers, blazers, fire the flame, freedom flame, blazers. Come on, blazers, blazers. Come on, blazers, blazers, fire the flame, sanctuary, blazers, come on, blazers.